The message you're about to hear was recorded live at Grace Life Family Church, Abuja, where God is raising a new generation of believers. We are confident that His word will bless you and open your eyes to who you are in Christ. In the
name of Jesus. I just love to celebrate Him. Hallelujah. For what He has done. For this is only the beginning. Something my brother told me that encouraged me was he came in here a day. I couldn't remember the particular day, but I remember the message. And that's what I tell everybody. One message can do different things for different people. And the thing that is amazing is here, we're not here talking about 10 steps on how to become rich. We teach you Jesus. If you receive Him, you find out that there's nothing you're looking for that is not in Him. Somebody say amen. There's nothing that you're looking for that is not in Him. Man has spent time pursuing things and running after things because we have taken our eyes away from the source of all things. He shared with me that there was a day he came in here just like every other person, and I said something, and he took what was said as his. That's all I ask everybody to do. That's all. Take what you say, what you hear, as his, as yours. And he did share with me. He said, well, I began to see myself in a different way. And that's what this whole thing is all about. Do this, do that. No. It's all in our identity. Somebody say amen. It's all in our identity. That's where it is. And inside of that identity, you realize that you don't have to kill yourself for things to happen. That's what we're talking about. You don't have to sacrifice your life. Because there's something about that man. And that's what we've been teaching. I think this is the 7th or the 8th message on this same topic. Revealing the man in Christ. Let me hear you say, revealing the man in Christ. Now, let me start by telling you this. That man has taught us religion. The school has taught us the sciences. Philosophy. Social sciences. And all kinds of sciences. Man has come up with some remedies to ameliorate, to solve man's problem. Man has come up with all kinds of remedies. But let me also tell you that the ultimate answer for every man is Christ. The ultimate answer for every man's problem, for every man, the utmost purpose for every man is to be found in Christ. And the thing that is important that you need to know is this. Man cannot teach you this. Only the Spirit of God can reveal Christ to you. Only the Spirit of God can take Christ. No wonder Jesus says when He comes, He will teach us how many things? All things. Jesus said He will take what is mine and He will make it known to you. Man can teach you religion. You don't need the Holy Ghost to tell a man, to convince a man. Listen to me. You don't need the Holy Ghost to collect a tithe from man. When you tell the man, if you don't pay, you go to hell. No, you're using fear. That's not the Holy Ghost. But for a man to see the reality, you know what? Because when Christ left, there's still a lot of things that needed to be unfolded. And Jesus told them, He said, if I tell you now, you will not take it. But don't worry, somebody else is coming to explain it to you. It takes the Holy Spirit to explain, to reveal Christ to you. And let me tell you, what we are committed here is doing nothing but teaching you Christ. That I may preach Christ and teach you Christ. And if, like I said, if by mistake you happen to believe what you see, you will see your life transform. That is guaranteed. I don't need to prophesy another prophecy. I don't need to tell you any other thing. If you can see Him, and like I said, just make a small mistake and believe that which you have seen in Him. The guarantee is that, you know why I can give you this guaranteed? Because it's not by power nor by might. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who does it. And so what is my work? To teach you Christ. And you look at Him. And you see Him. You may see Him today, you don't see the whole. Tomorrow you come, you see another part. And suddenly, or somehow, one day you wake up, one day you realize, you come to your senses, and you start to see you in Him. The rest is history. Somebody say amen. The rest is history. That's how this life is supposed to be. Listen to me carefully. The church has taught us all manner of things. They've even taught us Christian principles. But what they have not taught us is Christ, who Christ is. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. So when we're talking about revealing the man in Christ, that is what this whole thing is all about. That as we show Christ, you can see the reality of who you are in him. Let me hear you say loud, amen. Amen. And so I said last Sunday, let me recap from last Sunday. I said last Sunday, so each time we are here preaching, you get to understand that this is warfare. This is when we fight warfare. We prepare in prayers, we do other stuff. But the teaching of the word of God is where the warfare is. Why? Because what we're doing is to knock down. Somebody say knock down. Knock down what? All the lies and the strongholds that is holding you captive. All the lies that the Satan has told you. All the lies that the religion has told you. All the lies that your village people told you. All the lies that philosophy and even your experience has told you about yourself. When you walk in here, the Spirit of God knocks those things down that you may be free. No wonder the Bible says, whoever the Son of God says free shall be what? Free. How much? Indeed, completely. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Jesus knows the save half and half. No. The Bible said he's able to save us to the uttermost. To the utmost, nothing left. And so, when you come in here, we feed you Jesus. You eat him, you eat his flesh. And as long as you eat that, life flows within you. Life flows. And this life is not your other life, for that one is past. We have a different life. Let me just show you 2 Corinthians chapter 10. That's where we started last Sunday. 2 Corinthians, this is not my message. It's a preamble, it's an introduction. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, give me verse 3. Let me show you what I'm talking about. That when we engage in, when we are preaching, it's warfare. We are trying to demolish all the arguments, all the thoughts. Yes, he said we are human. Yes, we are human, flesh and blood, I can see you. But we don't wait for as humans do. Listen to that carefully. Until you understand that we are different. The thing that we are struggling with is that we have not understood yet that we are different from every other human being. Though we live as humans, but the way we wage our own wars is different. And so it is a mind-boggling thing when all the philosophies that a Christian lives by is the principles of the world. We have defeated the purpose now. Look. We have eternal principles of God. And so, see, we are humans, yes, but we don't wage war like humans do. Why? Because we're different. Next line, it says this. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons. We fight a war quite all right, but the way we fight is different from the way the world fights. And the Bible says that our weapon is not even ours, it's God's mighty weapon. And what do we use it to do? We use it to knock down walls, strongholds. Somebody say strongholds. Let me hear you say strongholds. You know, for many years in church, when you hear stronghold, what usually comes to your mind? Huh? They have gathered. Once you hear stronghold, you say they have gathered. You know, people think of demons when you hear strongholds. They are part of it. God, they can lie to you and suggest things to you. When people hear stronghold, they think of witches' coven. When people hear stronghold, they think of where they are using some mirror somewhere to look at it. You know, the African man needs help. Somebody say amen. Strongholds. So we say we begin to, I remember those days, we start to bind and cast and push down every stronghold. Will you finish the thing this year? Next year you go do the thing again. Next 2 years you go do the thing. Next 3 years you go do the thing. How about? Look at what the Bible says. Say the strongholds of what human reasoning. It tells us what it is. That these strongholds come from human reasoning. The way a man thinks is the way his life goes. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is that man. So if the devil wants to control you and lead you astray, what do you think? You think he'll come and force you? No, he will only inject a kind of reasoning. Tell you what you are not. Lie to you. Give you a different picture of humanity. Use your experience. Like I say all the time, I've seen people. When I look at these people closely, when I look at them, I can see that they are peaceful on the inside. But on that side, they are like tigers. As I sit down and look at this lady, I know clearly, I can see the amount, the level of peace within them. But because of what has happened to them, they've turned to tigers. They've turned to experience has modified them. And so it has made them to start to reason about life in a particular way. But what the word of God does is that we use God's mighty weapon, his word, to knock down this reasoning. Somebody say amen. And if you're under the control of any false argument, today is destroyed in the name of Jesus. Let the word of God come in and do the work for you. He said, we knock down these strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. Let me tell you this. I said this last Sunday. If I say that you are stupid and you walk away, it doesn't mean anything. But when I say you are stupid and then you start to think, accept that you are stupid, that is what the stronghold is. And like as I was saying last Sunday, sometimes it's education. Sometimes it's our experience. Modify you. And then start to lie to you about your what you can do and what you cannot do. Let me tell you, friends, the gospel is the answer to every problem. Look, whether it is emotional or whether it is psychological or no matter whatever it is, the gospel holds the answer. Because in it is the power of God to save a man. And let us say that you are struggling because of those. Then when the power of God comes upon you, it begins to remove those things. Let me hear you say a louder amen. See, man has remedies. Small remedies. So if you have problem, if you go smoke Igbo, if you go smoke Igbo, when you smoke the Igbo finish, they're going to do you like this, like this, like this, like the problem is solved. Like the problem is solved. After some 2 hours, the Igbo will come clear. The problem is still there. What man has is remedies. Small remedies. You can see a lady who is struggling with low self-esteem. And she starts to pile her face up with all kinds of makeups. Auntie, makeup does not cure low self-esteem. Because when you go and wash it off, the thing is still there. It's only the word of God that has the power. Even when you don't know how you got there, you don't know what the problem is, but the word of God has the power to go in there and open up something. Suddenly, that thing that makes you see yourself that way is eliminated. And that's what we do. That's why I tell people, pay attention. Don't joke with what you hear. Because in it is the answer that you're looking for. And like I said, that's why you don't see me do a lot of things. I pray for you. I know I do. I pray here. But this thing I'm talking about is beyond me praying for you, if you know what I mean. It is that something lights up on the inside of you. It just suddenly you start to realize that, look, everything that you have believed about yourself is a lie. Your eyes opens, you see the reality of who God is and who you are because you are in Christ. Then you are the one who will question some certain things. You are the one who will say, no. My life ought not to go this way. And that's when that faith is active. Somebody say amen. And so if you watch it, when you hear me talk, and when you hear, that's why I tell people, we post these messages on the church WhatsApp group. If you have to listen 15 times, do. What are you doing? If you have to listen over and over and over, sir, as I'm telling you this morning, I've already listened to another message. This morning, I've already listened to another preacher this morning. In addition to all the preparations I have to do to be here, I've already listened to somebody else. One problem we're having here is that we have people now who think that I know this thing. Okay? You don't know it until it becomes your life. This is not Christian religious knowledge. This is not no. It's life. Somebody say life. Oh, let me hear you say it's life. If you believe, say it's life. It's life to us. Now, when you hear suddenly, as you sit down for your house, let me tell you what I'm talking about. This is the way it works. You just rise up in a different way. The things that looks like they're impossible, you will start to smile at them even before the situation changes, because the light has come up. That's when you know that something, faith has been activated. That's when you know that, that's when the Spirit of God is active. It's not this way, you know, sometimes we say some certain things, pastor said it like this, me I think it's like this. Okay, what I'm telling you here is not what I'm thinking. No, it's not. I'm not thinking. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. And so, let's look at some of the things I said last Sunday. So, number one is this. I say that it doesn't matter where you are, who you are, where you're coming from, what your past experience has been. For you, as a child of God, as a born-again child of God, you have only one past experience. You have only but one. Somebody say only but one. Oh, Lord, let me hear you. Only but one. How many experiences do you have? How many experiences do you have? What is that experience that you have? You may have been beaten, though. You may have been abused, though. You may have lost your parents. You may be raised up by people. See, you know, when I tell people some of these things, it's like this. Do you know that as I stand here, my parents do not understand what it means to go to the embassy, go to a visa and travel? They don't understand that. I have to explain it to them in our own local dialect, because it's beyond what they know. For the fact that they don't know that, has that ever stopped me? No. See, it's not where you're coming from, it's understanding your identity. Somebody say amen. When you understand the reality of your identity, you know that where you're coming from makes no difference. Because until you understand this, you cannot see your future clearly. It's like a prince thinking like an ordinary man. If you're a prince and you don't know, you will think like an ordinary man until somebody. And you know what? I can come and teach you 21 steps on how to think like a prince. Oga, until you see yourself like a prince, you cannot walk like one. What the church has done is to teach us 21 steps on how to be a child of God. Oga, child of God is in the identity. That's where the child of God is. And when a man is conscious of that identity, he starts to see impossibilities as possible. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Romans 6, verse 3. Romans 6, verse 3. I want us to look up. Romans 6, verse 3. I said that if you are born again, the only experience that you have, the only past experience that you have, which you should hold on to, is this: that in Christ you were dead, in Christ you were buried, and in Christ you have been raised from the dead. Let me hear you say a louder amen. That is the only thing that should count as experience to you. It makes no difference whatever has happened. But the reality of our identity is that when Christ died, you died. Let me hear you say amen. And when Christ was buried, what happened? You were buried too. And when he rose from the dead, you too were risen from the dead. And why is this important, friends? It doesn't matter what problem a man has. Once that man is dead, that problem is over. It makes no difference what is wrong with a man. It makes no difference what kind of sickness is wrong with that man. The day that man dies, everything, even if the man they owe, let us say the man they owe somebody 20 billion. Suddenly they announce say the man don't die. I think the dead man himself will be smiling. The dead man will be smiling. The only people who will say death, what is this? Is the ones that he's owing. The dead man is gone. He doesn't care. If you like, bring his dead body and flog it. It doesn't matter. The man is dead. He's dead. He is. Let me tell you, once a man is dead, he's free from all of his problems. Once a man is dead, he's freed from all of his problems. Again, you must realize that the highest punishment you can give to anybody for any offense is what? Death. That's why you have to reckon, you have to realize, and then you have to apply that in Christ you are dead. Let me hear you say amen. To make it better, as if dying was not good enough. In Christ you were buried. A man is dead. They still keep him. They think, say, maybe somehow he go wake up. No. When they don't bury the man, that is matter closed. What is this? Why is this key? Is that in your death and burial, everything that came through the man of nature, everything that follows you through the natural man, everything that came to you through Adam, the sickness, the poverty, the disappointment, the lack, all of the things that came through Adam, when you died in Christ, you died with them. You died with them. You were buried with them. What happened? You are now raised up to the newness of life. Let's read. Everybody look up. Everybody look up. Let's read louder. Louder, everybody. One, two, go. Louder. Stop, stop. Do we need breakfast before we read? Let's all stand. Everybody stand. Let's all stand. I want us to read this so that it soaks into everybody. Let's read that loud. One, two, go. Just keep standing. Let me show you why he said, or have you forgotten? It's an application. Go to verse 1 of the same. Keep standing. Verse 1. He said, where then should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? That's the question. Because people were saying that Paul was saying that the more you sin, the more grace will abound to you. Paul says now, in response to that, he said, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more grace? Then the answer is in verse 2. Give me verse 2. He says, of course not. This of course not here is a watered down language. This of course not here is a watered down language. In fact, the other translation says, God forbid. The other one says, never, never. In other words, listen, it did not say, oh, of course not. Listen to me carefully. It did not say, of course not. Why can we have grace and then continue to sin? If he says it like that, it means that there's a possibility. No, but look at what he said. Since we have done what? Since we have done what? You see the answer? The answer that you have died to sin. And he now says, how can you continue to live in something that you are dead to? Application now. When it comes to sin, when you died to it. How can you not live in the things that you have died to? That's the answer. He didn't say, oh, yeah, you know, we cannot have grace and continue to sin. No, that's like a possibility. He said, no. When it comes to the issue of sin and the believer, no. The Bible says you are dead to it. Somebody say amen. And if you are dead so to something, the question becomes, how can you not continue to live in it? I was helping a young lady out this morning. I said, any Christian that you see doing this thing, listen to me carefully. I made a mistake when I came into this work because I assumed, when I had people talk about grace, I assumed what happened to me happened to them. Because when this revelation came, it transformed my life. It became life to me first before I started to preach the message. I didn't realize that some people, it wasn't life to them. It was just knowledge. Because you cannot, somebody say cannot. Oh, let me hear say cannot. You cannot taste and have the reality of this and continue to live in sin. It's not possible. Are there people doing it? Yes. Why is that? It's not reality to them. It's knowledge in the head. They had grace and they started talking grace all over the place. That's the only reason you can see a man talk about grace and still. How can you? The Bible says, how can we? When it comes to sin, it's a matter of how can we? How can I live in it because I'm dead to it? Next slide. You may sit down now, please. Next slide. Let me show you what I was saying. Now, he now says, watch this. He now says, oh, have you forgotten that when we were joined to Christ in baptism, we were joined to his death? Next line. Next line. And he says, for we died and we are buried with Christ by what? Baptism. And this baptism I'm talking about here, listen to me. For doctrinal sake, this baptism is not water baptism. When you are born again, you are baptized into Christ by the Holy Ghost. That's this baptism. This baptism is not water baptism. When you are born again, you are baptized into Christ by who? The Holy Ghost. All right. And he says, we died and we are buried with Christ. Hallelujah. We were died and were buried with Christ. So this is where my life began. My life did not begin when they bore me from village. That's my natural life. My real life began that day that I was baptized into Christ. That's why my real life began. And everything I expect, oh my goodness. Listen, as I was praying this morning, I looked up and I could see the reality of this. And I started to talk to God. I said, how can we help men come to this reality? How can we help the body of Christ understand and come, wake up every morning living in the fullness of this reality I'm talking about? That look, who Christ is who you are. You are not separate from him. You are not different from him. My life did not begin when they bombed me for village. No, that's not what my life began when I died in Christ, when I was buried, and the life I have is the one that came with his resurrection. Somebody say amen. Let me hear you say a louder amen. And so this is what you gotta know. And so somebody comes and said, people in your place, people from this place, people with fair color, people who did this, they did, or God, that one no belong to you. They are referring to the natural man. But you are no longer like that, for you are born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You are born of the Spirit. And you know what Jesus says? He says, whatever is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. For we died with him. And he says, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live what? Newness of life. I pray that God will help all of us, that our eyes open, and when you start to see what I'm seeing, when you start to realize what I'm realizing, you know that you are a different person. And if you are here, you're not born again, I don't have to beg you. Because outside of Christ, you're a dead man. What we're offering you is life, and life abundant. If you're not born again here, don't leave the service until you see me. Next line, please. Okay, now, it's okay. Let's stop there. Now, give me Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Let me show you what your present reality is. I just talked about your past. So you need to go to your diary and write this with bold letters. Say, the only past I have is my death, is my burial, is my resurrection in Christ. That's what you need to write. You need to write that. And if you don't know what to do, when you wake up in the morning, go and read that. The only past I have is my death. In Christ, I died. In Christ, I was buried. In Christ, I became alive. And the more you do that, you start to, listen, let me tell you what will happen. The Holy Ghost will start to unpack to you what the reality of this life is. You know why this is important? The level he might start with me might be different where he will start from you. But you need to reckon. You need to be in line. Somebody say fall in line. Oh, what I'm saying is fall in line. Fall in line with this. I think that's a better way to say it. Fall in line with Jesus. Fall in line with his death. Fall in line with his burial. Fall in line with as you start to see yourself that way, the Holy Ghost will start to unpack to you what your destiny looks like. It's not destiny of who is here. God said somebody is going to London. What will be that one now? I'm talking about the real reality of Christ in us. And watch this. God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us how much? How much? Church, I ask, how much does he love us? Nobody say he loves us. So he loves us so much. Man, if I wake up in the morning, go to bed, and just romancing only on this one. Oh, I have a God who loves me so much. And you know the beauty of his love is unconditional. You know, get conditioned. That's what the religious man cannot understand. They say, oh, God loves you outside, but when you come inside, but. We now start to add the but. But. But the Bible says God is so rich in mercy. Not rich in anger. Not rich in frustration. Not just that he's merciful. He's rich inside of mercy. Hallelujah. And he said he loved us so much. So what did he do as from his love? Next verse. That even though you were dead, you see, you were dead because of your sins. But instead of that you are dead, what did he do? He gave us life. Hallelujah. Come and put your hands together for Jesus right here. Amen. I don't know about you. This is the joy of salvation. This is the joy of salvation. That even though I was dead because of sin, but inside of my deadness, he came and gave me life. When did he give me life? It's in the Bible. When he did what? He raised Christ. Where? When did he give you life? When he raised Christ. Where? That's when he gave you life. The only thing me and you, the only short change we have yet, is that you have refused to fall in line with this reality. Oh, I wish there's a way I can help you further. I've prayed for you, friends. I'm preaching this word with love from my heart. Because I know that the things that you call problems are not problems. You know what the church has done? We come here every morning. If your problem is this, problem, Oga, the source of those problems is because we have not aligned ourselves with our reality. If you align yourself with the reality, nobody me go tell you what you go do. You will do it by yourself. Suddenly, in the midst of your brokenness, in the midst that there's no money in the bank account, suddenly you start to see that you're very rich. And let me tell you, once this light breaks up in your spirit, nothing can stop it. What you see is what guides you. When you were raised, we were dead. But inside of our deadness, because of his love for us, he came and he gave us life. So my present situation, my present circumstances is there. He says, it is only by grace that you have been saved. Why is it by grace? It was because of his own mercy, not because I do anything. I was too dead even to do anything. Next line. I'm going somewhere. Next line. For he raised us from dead. Listen to what I'm telling you. Listen to what I'm telling you here, friends. Everybody look up, please. Look up. Watch this. Every religion, every Christian religion I know of, no matter what the denomination is, they agree that what happened to Adam happened to everybody. Is that true? They agree that what happened to Adam happened to everybody. They agree with that. Okay? So, why are you having problem now when we said that what happened to Christ happened to everybody? That's what the problem is. They said, no, it's not like that. So, they have faith in Adam more than in Christ. There's no preacher I know anywhere, no matter what his denomination is, they agree that what happened in Adam happened. They said you are a sinner because of Adam. Now I said, in the same way and manner that you were a sinner because of Adam, in that same way and manner, you are righteous because of Christ. Somebody say amen. Because in the same way what happened to Adam happened to everybody. Adam was the first Adam. In Christ, the second Adam, whatever happened to him, happened to how many? All of us. So therefore, friend, his peace is my peace. His joy is my joy. His righteousness is my righteousness. His wealth is my wealth. Whatever Jesus has, that's what I have. Whatever cannot happen to him cannot happen to me. Who he is who I am. There is no difference between me and him. Somebody say, about Jesus here, please. There's no difference. Listen. There's no difference. There is no difference between him and me. And friends, what I'm praying to God and crying every day is that your eyes opens, that you stop to see yourself outside of Christ, that you stop to see yourself independent of Christ, that because of this, you know, you and Christ are one together. That's what the Bible says. It says, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ because we are one. The way God solves the problem of humanity is to solve it in one. Once he solves it in Christ, it's all solved. What is left for me and you is to fall in line. Touch your neighbor and say, fall in line, fall in line. Touch somebody and say, fall in line, fall in line, fall in line. It's to fall in line with him. As I wake up in the morning, before any other thing, I'm looking for this reality. Because I have been denied off from this reality. I have been pushed to outside of Christ. Even though I'm saved, even though I'm born again, I've been preached to outside of Christ. I've been talked to as a man who is outside of Christ. As the Holy Spirit begins to lecture me on this, I want to see that reality. And if you see it too, you'll see what I'm talking about. My work is not here to come and convince you God will prosper you. God will, let us shout now, God will prosper you. Go. That's not my work. My work is to show you the real you, when you see the real you, you know that prosperity is not a prayer point. It's part of who you are. When man has not seen that, then everything becomes a problem. Everything becomes a problem. And we are running helter-skelter trying to solve the problem. You know, trying to solve this problem. If we try him like this, it no work. We try it like this, it no work. We can't try it like this. You know, we say now, the latest system is this one now. You know, we start with 7 days, it no work. That one no work. We say, it's now it's anointing oil. Drink more anointing oil. That one no work. It is now faith extender. Carry clothes. You know, faith, you can extend it with your clothes. That one no work. We say, okay, it is a midnight prayer. You know, once you start by 12 in the night, that's when the witches fly. You try that one, you know, work. Oga, you know, they ever end. Because there's no way there. You know, the end. It's a repetitious circle over and over and over again. But when that man realizes who he is in Christ, the problems has ended. Let me hear you say amen. You start to realize that you are independent of that circumstance. What is your present condition? Look at it. He said, for he raised us up from the dead. Anything that is negative in your life is part of the dead life. It should never be there. It should never be there. Don't accept it, friends. Don't say it's okay. We are humans. Auntie, you are not human. Though we live like them, but we are not like them. What is born of the Spirit is Spirit. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us. Somebody say seated. Oh, let me hear you say seated. Louder, let me hear you say seated. Where did he seat us? He sat us where? So your present situation is that you are seated in Christ. Remember, this Christ is the one who the Bible said made all things. And all things were made through him. The Bible says he seated far above principalities and powers, kingdoms and dominion. That is where you and I are seated. My present situation is that I am seated in Christ. Oga, auntie, when you realize your seated position in Christ, when it becomes real, when it becomes reality, the way you do things will change. The way you conduct your life will change. When you realize where you are seated in Christ, the way you handle relationships will change. The way you look at money will change. You know what we have done? Is to leave this thing and try to teach you every other thing. Oh, this is how to do this one. Oh, this is how to marry your wife. Oh, this is how to be a good wife. This is how to be a good husband. This, and you're looking at the scripture. You don't see more of that. Why? Because the answer to these things is in the realization, the reality of our identity in Christ. Suddenly, you thought you had to fight to survive. Now you see yourself seated in Christ. Seated. Sitting is a position of peace. Sitting is a position of authority. Do you wonder why kings are always seated? Have you seen that? Kings, have you noticed that? Big chair, they're always seated. Hardly do you see them stand up. They're always seated. If you go to see them, they are seated. They are seated. They're always seated. It's a position of authority. Seated. We are seated with him. We are seated in Christ. We are in heavenly realms. Because what? We are what? Sir, let me give you this as a warning. If you want to help yourself, be cautious of the things you listen to and you allow into your spirit. Be very careful about that. The only way the devil will continue to suppress Christians is to confuse us with all kinds of information. The Bible says this is our reality because of our union with Christ. We are united. Let me hear you say, I am united with Christ. Oh, say it like you mean it. I am united with Christ. I am united. United means united. We are one. I am one in him. I am one. Me and him is one. If it was possible for a witch doctor to look at Jesus and change his destiny, a witch doctor look at Jesus and say, Jesus, I will change your destiny. If that were possible, then I'll be concerned. Because if you can change the destiny of Jesus, then you can change my own. Because I'm inside of him. But if it is impossible for any human being, up or down, dead or alive, to change who Jesus is, then you cannot change me. Simple. Simple math. You know why this is a problem for people? It is too easy for them to believe. Just like that. You mean I don't have to go and fight them at midnight? I said, No, you don't have to fight them. It's a state of being. It's a state of being. And you know what I know? Listen, let me tell you. Even those people, they know who knows the truth. They know who knows. A demon asks somebody, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? How did you know Paul? What's the difference between Paul and Jesus and these people? Jesus, of course, is Jesus. But Paul is a human being. What was the difference? Paul is the man who had the revelation of who Jesus is. Demons said to the man, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Listen to me, friends. The miracle is in our identity. That identity is in Christ. And the more you see it, and the more you believe it, the more you start to see how this works. Somebody say amen. Let me hear you say a louder amen. How do we translate this application? How do we translate this to reality? Give me Luke chapter 15. I just want to use this guy's story. I'm not going to go through the entire story because you know it's the story they call the story of the prodigal son. Go to chapter Luke chapter 15. I just want to use that story as a backdrop to tell you what happens to the life of a man who comes to the realization of the truth. Luke chapter 15. Okay, so go to verse 14. Go to verse 14. You know the story. You all know the story. I think you know the story. The story of the prodigal son. They told us even from primary school. The story of the prodigal son is a young man who went to his father and said to his father, I can't wait for you to die. Give me my own inheritance. Make I take waka. You know what that boy was actually saying? Was telling to the father, say, for as long as I'm concerned, you are dead. Just give me my own share. Abi? That's what he was saying. That's what he was saying. When he goes to the father and say, oh God, give me my own. I don't care. I don't want to have anything with you. Your life doesn't worth anything. The only thing I'm interested in is giving me my own inheritance. And the Bible said that the man shared the inheritance and gave to the young man. And he took off on a journey. Begin the waka. They blow the money. They chop himself. They do everything the way they do. And then suddenly, after he has spent his money, we pick up the story. And he says, about the time his money ran out. The guy's money don't finish. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. Remember? He began to starve. Next line. And then he persuaded a local farmer to hire him. And the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. Now, let me tell you this. You know, first of all, who told this story? Jesus, right? Jesus told this story. And it's an illustration. It didn't mean that this happened physically. Jesus was illustrating something. Now, watch this. For a Jew, the worst thing you can tell him is to go and feed a pig. Right? A Jew. That's like the worst of all worst positions for a Jew. Because Jews don't have anything to do with pigs. Even up till now. Pig, no. So, when he finds himself in a situation where he's not feeding pigs, that's the lowest he could be. Next line. Ben, next line. Give me the next line. The young man became so hungry that even the paws he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. Now, in other words, he was ready to begin to feed like a pig. But even at that, to make the matter worse, the Bible says, no one gave him anything. Now, let me, please, pay attention. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Watch this. So, this is a guy who has an inheritance. But out of his mind, he walked away from that inheritance. He walked away from where he was supposed to be. He walked away from where God had planted him. And he started to chase something else outside. And then suddenly, he begins to face frustrations because he is walking outside of the purpose for his life. He starts to face challenges. He starts to face difficulties. And he's trying to manage to survive with the difficulties. That's what he's trying to do. He has serious problems. But you see, he's managing to survive. He's trying to find his way out. He went, got a job. and then was feeding pigs. So hungry he desired the food of the pigs, but no one will even give him. Now let me show you what was his salvation. Next line, please. Give me the next line. When he finally came to his senses. When he finally came to what? What was this sense that he came to? He said to himself, listen to me carefully. This, in all these things that I've been teaching you here, this is what our part is. That's why I'm reading this story. This is what our part is. Even though this translation says he came to his senses, what it means is that he came to the reality of who he really is. Suddenly he realized, wait a minute. At home, even this hired servant have food enough to spare, and I'm here dying of hunger. Do you know what we do in life most times? Is what this boy is doing. Rather than returning back to the fullness of our identity, we are trying to manage the situation. No matter how successful he becomes in this employment, he's still a servant. Even if he found food to eat, plenty of food to eat in this, he's still a what? A servant. Where is his salvation? His salvation is in the reality of his identity. Friends, it makes no difference whatever you're facing. Listen to me carefully. The answer to it is in the realization of who you really are in Christ. Let me hear you say amen. Let me hear you say a louder amen. Your salvation is not in more religious activity. Because what the church has done for the most time is to increase our activity in this condition. 7 steps on how to find a job in this situation. Okay? The reason he's in problem first is because he's outside of his identity. So what religion has done is to show us, okay, if you find yourself here, look, your problem is beyond finding a job, bro. That's what I'm telling you. Your problem is beyond finding a job. Your problem is beyond the next breakthrough. Because what the church has done, religion for the most part now, is to show us how to survive outside our identity. So we focus the preaching on buying a car, getting a house, building this, building that, doing that, doing this, doing that. Okay? No matter what you have outside of your identity, you are still empty. That's what I'm pointing to. It didn't matter how this guy succeeded here. But in the midst of the frustration, so all I've been teaching, all I've been saying, this is that rhema point for you. That's this point of activation. When suddenly, whether it is here or at home or you are sleeping, suddenly, boom, you realize, this is who I am. That is the miracle of miracles. Somebody say amen. Let me hear you say a lot of amen. And I said that will be your experience in the name of Jesus. That will be your experience. Suddenly, he said to himself, even at home. Now, when this boy came to this place, I don't need to preach a sermon for him to go back to his father. That's what I've been saying. Nobody needed to teach him, okay? These are the 21 practical steps on how to go back to your father. No, once that consciousness comes in, he lifts his legs and he begins to walk back to his father. Until you come to this place, you and I can be body-body, close-close, friend-friend. No, that don't matter anything. This is what you need. And if you have not done so, I pray it becomes your experience in the name of Jesus. Reality of who you are, suddenly. You see, once that reality came, the situation around didn't matter any longer. The situation around makes no difference. It didn't matter any longer. It was no longer a big deal. Whether there was famine, whether he was hungry. No, it didn't matter. Once he came to that reality, bam, he stood up. And he began to walk back to his father. The other thing the church has tried to do is to show us how to go back to our father. Okay, listen, let me tell you. Did you know that when this young man was here, if somebody else could have come and said, but why are you here now? Why are you suffering? Just go back to your father. And he listens to you and he keeps quiet. Because it is not a reality to him. Listen to me. This is my experience. As a pastor, I have tried to help many people. I have tried to plan the life of people for them. I have invested my own personal money in people's things. I used to sit down and say, this brother, okay, if I can give him 50,000 or 100,000, pay his house rent, do this, I think he'll be okay, he'll move forward. Write a check, 200,000, and give to the person. And that was it. Nothing. I can't help you beyond this point, no matter what I do. And I look at those people, even the thing that you did was supposed to be an answer, became a problem for them. It's not in me doing something for you. I will always do as God gives me the grace. But what I'm saying here is this. Nothing, because I have sat people down and said, look, I've looked at some people. I can see where their strength lies. I can see what they want to do. And I'm trying to tell them, do this and do this and do this. Lie. I realize that. Cool down. I cannot be more powerful than God. I will only be patient until your reality comes. Somebody say amen. When that reality dawns on you, you will take the step. I can teach you 25 practical ways of step to walk in faith. No. What produces those things? What produces the steps? What produces the action is this reality. What is this reality we are talking about? Look, I and Christ, we are one. I am not separate from him. Who he is who I am. What he can do is what I can do. What he has is what I have. In him, I was dead. I have a problem. No, that problem of the past is buried in Christ. And suddenly, you realize that we are born to the newness of life. That's the reality. When it dawns on you, you will pick your leg and start to walk. If you are on a sick bed, listening to this message, this reality dawns on you, you can rise up and walk home free. You know, what the church has done is that I will come and be using my own faith to try to wake up your own faith. You know, try to, you know, I have anointing, so let me try to use my anointing to force the healing. No, that's okay. There's a dimension for that. But we are going to the next dimension. Somebody say amen. And what is that dimension? That everybody comes to the reality of what this faith is all about. That I am not trying to convince you. You know, some people have problems. They say, hey, pastor, but you said that thing that you... No, it's not what I said, Oga. It's whether you have come to that reality. It's whether you have come to that reality. When you come to the reality yourself, faith becomes language. It becomes the way you live your life. You are no longer trying to live your life according to the patterns of how people live their life. No, faith becomes natural to you. Let me hear you say amen. Faith becomes natural to you. Because you realize that this life is a life of faith. I pray for somebody that today is that day for you in the name of Jesus. Whether it happens here or it happens home, or whether you are listening by tape, let today be that day of that reality for you. When it dawns on you quickly that you have been living your life according to the old man, you remove all the coat of the old man and embrace the new man. That in Christ, you and him are one. You may be dying of hunger, starvation, not knowing where your life is going. And you are looking for remedies. Stop looking for remedies. The answer is in this realization. I am one with Christ. Let me apply this and we pray. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. Look up everybody. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. Let's look up. Let's look up everybody. All right, let's read this loud and clear like a mass choir. 1, 2. I didn't hear that. Let's take it again. 1, 2, go. Stop. Who is crucified with Christ? What is your old self? The old self is anything that has to do with Adam, your natural nature. Sickness, jealousy, gossip. Backbiting. You see, the old man stinks. These are the attributes of the old man. But he says, why is this application? You see, this is what it means to come to the reality. Watch this. This is a man who comes to the reality of what I'm talking about. He's not saying that Christ was crucified for me. He said, my old self has been crucified with who? Christ. This is the application of everything that I'm saying. Okay? When I explain to you to believe, this is what it means to believe. the Holy Ghost wrote this for us, we can use this as example of what it means to believe that what he has done is mine. He says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. Let me ask you, when he died, was I there? No. But by faith, I reckon myself as him. My old self has been crucified. The self that always have that repeating sickness that never goes. The repeating sickness that never goes. It's like repeating, it never goes. Every season, it comes back. Every season, it comes back. Okay? That one is in your old self. If you start to see that old self as crucified in Christ, your healing is imminent. Salvation, deliverance comes. It said, it is no longer I who live. It's no longer that old guy who lives. But you know, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body. In other words, this life I'm living in this earthly body, the way I live is trusting. Listen to the key here. It says, the way I now live is trusting or having faith where? In the Son of God. This is the application. Look, if you ever get confused about what it means to believe, go and read Galatians 2:20. This is what it means to take what Christ has done and make it yours. Galatians 2:20. And it says there, so I live in this earthly body by trusting where? In the Son of God. So my trust is not in myself, because that self is dead. My trust is not in a man. My trust is not in some ability. No, my trust is where? In the Son of God. Finally, watch this. Why will I trust him? He says, that Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Somebody say amen. Why should I love him? He gives you the proof there. Say, this Son of God loved me and he gave himself for me. So I live by trusting the one. It's not I don't know him. I know him because I live trusting my life in the Son of God. That Son of God loved me and he gave him. That's the highest sacrifice anybody can do for me. And so do I have a reason to trust him? Yes. What is that? He loved me, past tense, and he gave himself for me, past tense. If he loved me and he gave himself, then I can trust. The life I now live every day, I live trusting in the Son of God. And he has proven that trust in that he loves me and he gave himself for me. Brothers and sisters, let me end by showing you this again. If you miss your way, find it here. Any place that you have lost, any area that you are struggling with, anything that looks like it's not working, this is where you come to. My old self. Anything that is not working belongs to your old self. Anything that you are struggling with belongs to your old self. Bad dreams, negative emotions, all those things. Oh, you are depressed. Okay? Depression is not a fruit of the spirit. Depression is in the old self. Anytime you see yourself depressed, it's because you have walked out of your new self back into the old self. And that, remember, depression is a fruit of the mind. The devil starts to lie to you over and over to lure you out from your reality into the falsehood. That's where you come. Depression is not a fruit of the spirit. I don't have to prophesy for that to end. If you will go back and realize that who you used to be has been crucified in Christ. Have you been blessed this morning? Let's give Jesus a hand. Somebody, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. At Grace Life, we believe in exposing our listeners to the truth of the gospel of Jesus. If you want to listen to more messages like this or to fellowship with us, follow us on Facebook at Grace Life Family Church Abuja or visit our website at www.gracelifeabuja.org. For questions and counseling, you may call 0803-113-8031.